Welcome back to Renovation Education, brought to you by renovateandprofit.com, Australia's number one specialist in adding value to real estate.
Well, welcome back to Renovation Education, a podcast brought to you by renovateandprofit.com. My name's Cheyenne and I'm here with Anna today. Anna, today's topic has actually come about by a question that's been sent in. You ready for it?
Ready.
Ready.
Okay. In short, it was a fairly long one, but in short, what is a mum and dad investor? They've heard the common terms, they've read it in a magazine, but what would you describe a mum and dad investor
What does
as?
That actually mean?
Yeah, right. A simple sort of way to do it.
Okay. I think the easiest thing is what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk you guys through what it is to actually climb up that investment ladder. So what kind of an evolution you might go through as an investor over the years. So most people, when you think about it, will start off renting. Yeah. Most people will live with their parents, they'll move out of home, they'll go somewhere and they'll rent. Now, a lot of people, a very large majority, will go to the homeowner category. So they'll go and they'll buy something for themselves to live in. It might be a family home or it might be just, you know, something they buy for themselves. Now, from that point, people might become mum and dad investors. And what this means is that people are likely to go and invest in an area or a type of property or a strategy based on information they've just heard bandied about. So they might read it somewhere, they may have just heard someone talking about it, tell them, oh, that's a great suburb to invest in. They wouldn't have put the research, the analysis, or the time and effort into finding out if this is actually so. So the term mum and dad investor actually means that you're doing something because you've heard that it's a good thing to do, not necessarily because you know that it's so.
So like when you see on the front page of the newspaper, you know, certain suburb has gone up, you know, 30%. So that's where mum and dad investors sort of say, oh, well, we should actually look at that.
Yep.
Do you advise something like that after somebody's read it in a newspaper?
No, usually by the time it goes to print, the growth is well and truly over. But it's also about, you know, I've heard so many people over the years where they've gone, oh, look, we're just going to buy something off the plan. You know, we've heard that it's, you know, great to invest in a brand new property because you've got so much more depreciation or whatever it is. They hear these terms of, you know, cash flow positive property or something that makes them go, or, you know, at the moment people go, oh, you've got to invest, you know, overseas, you can buy so cheap in these areas, and they haven't necessarily sat down and really researched it, thought about all the implications and all the opportunities to do with that, and then strategize a way that is actually going to be profitable. As soon as you've sat down and done that, it's a lot easier to compare different strategies or different options or types of properties. So people will go into that category. Now, from that, a lot of people will step it up to being a smart buyer. Now, a smart buyer is someone that really puts in the time to investigate, to get to know good areas to invest. A lot of people fall into this category that buy and hold or that buy for cash flow. So they'll do a lot of research to do with, you know, trends, the history of an area, you know, what their population is like, what the natural growth has been like, what kind of people live there, what kind of infrastructure is there, if there's any new proposed things going on there. Are there big branded companies that are opening stores there? Is there new transport being put in or schools? And they'll find out a lot of this information, which from that they'll be able to deduct if it'll be a good long-term strategy. So if it'll be a good place to invest long-term or if it'll give them good rental returns to provide good cash flow. Now, that is one strategy to go with, but with those ones, as I'm sure you know, Shai, as well, people reach a point where they hit a wall.
Yeah. And when they hit a wall, we sort of talk that they hit a financial wall.
That's
it. So their borrowing capacity is out. They cannot borrow anything more because they don't earn any more. They have a lot of properties, but they don't have any borrowing capacities.
And any financial institution that you go to, they will lend you to you up to a point. So they'll go, okay, well, how many properties do you have? How exposed are you? How much of a risk are you to them? And from that, they'll work out if they will lend to you and how much they will actually lend to you. So a lot of people then from that step up and go into the add value strategies. Now you've got your innovation, subdivision, development. They're the three biggest add value strategies. And of course, you know, renovation is the easiest and most readily available for people. And a lot of people will go subdivision and development, and then you start looking at it from the point of view of, yes, you're manufacturing your own capital growth. You're creating, yes. You're being active, you're actually doing something to add value yourself, which is why they're called the add value strategies. And then the important thing from there is the more you become specific in the research that you do, in the analysis that you apply to any deal that you do, and you compare different deals, you start also not just looking at the profitability analysis of how much that's going to make you, because you might have a renovation that's going to make you 80 grand and you might have a development that's going to make you 150 grand. The next thing you do is you look at how long it takes.
Yes.
On average in Australia, a development takes 18 months. If you divide up the profit you're going to get by how long it takes, you get a per month profit figure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though renovation might make you a little bit less in terms of the chunk of money, but when you look at the amount of time it takes, it might only take 2 or 3 months.
Correct.
Exactly. You get in there, you do what you need to do, and you get out.
Absolutely.
So it's nice, clean, and quick. So you start looking at those things. And then from that point of view, you can step it up to doing multiple projects.
Yes.
You've heard it. You've done it yourself.
Yes.
It's doing those multiple renovations where they overlap, or where you're doing a few of them at the same time, or you might be crazy like me and be doing 7 like we are right now.
You're doing seven at the moment.
Some of them are for clients and some of them are for ourselves. But it's
that's a lot to have on the go.
Yeah, it is.
But when you've actually taken yourself through those steps, when you get to that point, you're already ready for it.
Yeah, exactly. And as you're going through each of these phases and each of these ladders, if you want to think of them that way, in your investment journey, you are really fine-tuning your processes, you're putting in systems. You know, it might only take me about 15 minutes to do profitability analysis, and I probably would have spent 3 hours on each at minimum when I got started. So you find ways how to make those things work easier and more efficient. You know, we've got software that does a lot of stuff for us. There's so many different things you can utilize because you want to leverage your time to the best possible way so you get the most out of it and you get to enjoy the bits that you like rather than getting lost in the process. And so from multiple projects, you know, anywhere along these last couple of ladders, the last couple of steps, people might choose, and some of them do, to step over the dark side and actually make it their business.
Yes.
So what they've been doing, they're investing as a hobby. It might actually become a business. They might get to the point where they're ready to let go of their jobs and step into the world of doing it full time. Now, that's pretty amazing.
It is. We've both done it. So I can remember when I did it, and it took me a long time to step over that line. It didn't matter what the facts or figures or anything told me that I could do it. It was letting go. And once I had, I was a lot happier. How were you?
For me, I was ready to let go. The hardest thing I found was more to do with my family.
Yeah.
Very much of the belief, and I had a good job. I didn't hate my job. I know a lot of other people go down this path because they really hate their job and then want to get out of it. I didn't hate it. I was good at it. I enjoyed it. But it wasn't, my heart wasn't in it. So I really love this. I love renovation. I breathe it, you know, I sleep it. I dream about it. You know, it's my life. Everything I do is to do with it. But my parents had this concept of having a secure, safe job, and they didn't like the idea that, you know, my mum was like, you know, you've got a well-paid job, why would you give that up? And it just didn't make sense. And to be honest, sometimes you inherit those worries of the people around you. They become your worries. And so it probably took me, I reckon, about 2 years longer than it should have to let go and to go into that. And finally, and it didn't matter that I could say to my mum, look, I'm actually making 3 times more through what I'm doing part-time than I am in the full-time job that I'm in. It just got to the point where I saved up enough to back me up for a while, and I just sort of said to mum, right, I'm going to give this 3 months. We're going to see what happens. I can always go back and get another IT job. Let's see what happens. And I have not looked back since. What about you?
Well, I think it's that 2 year mark. It's funny that the people I sort of talk to that have moved into renovating full time. And it was that 2 years. It was the stability. And I think it was probably instilled in me as well through my parents that you, or my mum, I don't know why it's mums, but my mum was, how can you do this? And are you sure you can continue it? So, yeah, I think it was that, and it was my love of my job as well, but the love for the job wasn't there anymore. Mm. Didn't hate it, but it wasn't there anymore. And I think that was the push that was, you know what? No, I don't tell a lie. There was a property that I did, and I said, if I make over a certain amount on this property, then I'll cut myself loose. And that's what I did. So
that's it. Yeah. And sometimes you have to take those leaps of faith. And I think that's another whole topic that we'll go into another time. It's looking at that mindset, the investor mindset, and getting to the point where A, you're an action taker, but also you allow yourself to cross those limits that you set for yourself, because we're our worst enemies. We set those limits for ourselves where they don't necessarily need to be there. So basically, you guys really have to take a step back right now. Have a think about where you fit in. You know, are you a renter? Are you a homeowner? Are you a mom and dad investor? You know, have you been a smart buyer or a cash flow buyer? You know, have you done any add value things? Have you done multiple projects? And do you want this to be a career potentially for you in a business? You should treat all your investing as a business, because at the end of the day, it might be a learning experience, but it should be a profitable learning experience. But have a think about where you fit in, and you have to be really, really honest with yourself and just go, okay, I know that I've done things before because, you know, I've heard that it's the right thing to do, or I've heard that mining towns are good, or I've heard that, you know, and you go, okay, do you know what? I may not like it, but I do fit into that mum and dad category, you know, and then really think about where you want to get to.
Yeah, because that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
What's the end goal?
And some people like the idea that they just want to do cash flow investing. That's their thing. And it doesn't matter if they, you know, the bank limits them at 6, but they know that they've got that and they're safe and they're comfortable with that. And that's perfectly okay. But if you've decided that you want to do this as a career, or you've decided that you want to become, you know, a really successful renovator, you really then go, okay, well, how do I get there? And you can work backwards then. You can go, okay,
yeah,
what do I need to do? What do I need to learn? Where are my knowledge gaps? What are the things I'm good at? What are the things I need to upskill on? You know, what road and what paths can I follow, and how can I help myself get there? So you can start setting yourself up to really living the dream that you deserve.
And it's that goal and that dream at the end of it that's the most important thing. I know that a lot of people will say, I want to do it for the extra money. And I don't think money is a good enough reason to want to do it. It's a nice one, but for a couple of times, yep, fantastic. But to continue doing it, there has to be a bigger reason than just I want to make $100,000.
You know? Yeah, and that's it. And if you really think about it, if you sit down and think about it, we all want to earn money, but we want to earn money for reasons. We want to earn money because it allows us to buy certain things, or to do certain things, or to travel to different places, or to pay off your wedding, or whatever it is. So you kind of take a step back and you go, okay, well, why am I doing this? You know, am I trying to replace my salary? Do I want to get out of my job? Do I want more time with the kids? You know, or is it just that I want to do a reno because I want to pay off for my wedding, which I've had a couple of clients do stuff like that, where they just want a sum, or they want a certain car, and they just want to do one or two renos that allows them to do that. And that's fine too. But if you know what you're trying to achieve, it's so much easier to get there. And I'll tell you one other thing that I've learned. If you write down what your goal is, you're twice as likely to actually go and do it.
There's statistics.
Exactly.
Actually, you know what? I might put them on the site. I know that there's statistics out there. There was a university study done, and I was amazed at the results. So I'll put it on the site for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Have a look at that, guys. www.renovationeducation.com. It'll be on there. Have a look at it. Have a think about it. The next best thing that you can do, find yourself an accountability buddy. Now, you need some sort of a mentor or someone that's going to guide you along the way. But most importantly as well is that you need someone that's going to keep you accountable. You need someone that's going to be, you can tell them what your goals are for the week, or what your tasks are, what you want to achieve. You can tell them about, you know, what you have gone through, what you've learned, what you've done well, what you haven't, you know, what else you need to look at and where your gaps are. If you have someone that's keeping you accountable, and it doesn't matter, it could be, you know, your friend, family member, although usually it's better not to cross that line.
Yeah.
Or it could be a professional in the business, which is usually the best, because they can give you advice about things information where you can find it and different stuff like that, templates and structures. But if you have someone that actually asks you, okay, well, what did you do last week or how did you go with that? Again, you'll step up and you'll actually do it. It's like having a personal trainer. It's not just about motivating yourself to go to the gym. You know that if you have an appointment with a personal trainer, you'll go because you have that appointment. It's their time as well, not just your own. So that, again, will push you up into that next level.
I think it's that accountability of knowing that on a certain day at a certain time you're going to speak to this person or meet them for coffee or whatever it be, and stepping yourself into the I need to give this person results, not just me, but I need to show them that I'm true to my word and I'm true to my dreams and what I want to happen.
Exactly.
I'm not going to just sit on the couch every night, every week and you know, do my homework the night before I see them, because that's going to show, you know. It's a lot more important that your accountability buddy is there as well and has that same commitment. So I highly recommend it. I've had lots of buddies that have and mentors that have shown me different things throughout the years. I'm sure you have too.
Exactly. And you know, these are the people that you have there, and at the end of the day, you have to be serious about your own investing, whether that investing might be just a one-off project or it might be the fact that you want to do it repeatedly. But you've got to take it seriously and you've got to really put in the time. And you know what? If you're going to do it well. Look, I really hope that this has more than given you some idea. I know the question is, you know, what is a mum and dad investor? But I think it's really important to understand not just that one step in your whole evolution as an investor, but you really got to think about what's before it and what's after it.
Like in a renovation project.
Exactly. You've got to know your steps and you can then make a schedule. Now, I'm just kidding. Not really. To be honest, you know what the funniest things is, for my wedding, we actually used the same schedule that we use on projects and for trades we used to organize the wedding. So where you would normally have, you know, different suppliers and different tradesmen Ruffing and stuff, yeah, we actually had, you know, there were still suppliers, but there were, you know, cake supplier, you know, all the rest of it. And then, you know, service providers, and we managed it the same way. And you know what? I got to tell you, it was one of the easier projects, that's for sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because you only got married recently, didn't you?
That's it, exactly. Yeah. And look, really have a think about this, guys. Have a think about where you're at, have a think about where you want to get to, and then have a think about what's going to help you get there. We do wish you the best with your investing, and feel free, have a look at the other podcasts that we've got on www.renovationeducation.com, or go to the website www.renovateandprofit.com, sign up for our newsletter, get more information. We're here to help you out and we're going to be covering lots more topics in the future.
Absolutely. There's I forgot to say it was Amber that sent that message through, so thank you to Amber for asking about mum and dad investors. If you've got a question for next week's show, pop it through to us. And thank you for listening. Thank you, Anna, for your time.
Thanks, guys. Chat to you soon.
Bye.